Yeah, there were items that we have said we are going to delete. We felt that Section 4 actually can be, those things that Section 4 can be covered somewhere. And we have actually included them in Section 6.
But what was the reason, Honorable Matamu?
Still remember, we said we're going to delete this Section 4 and put the mandate of the. Are we still going to consider those mandates in these powers and functions?
No, we are. I just wanted us to remind us what would be the reason of deleting the Section 4.
No.
Yeah. So you have mandates?
Yeah, on Section 4.
On
and
section
we have said we have to pack them and see when we come to powers and functions, where can we?
Yeah, but where do you want to come in? Where do you want to come in?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's four. So it's still right. We have floated it here that we are flagging it. But I want them to come in and then come with your suggestions.
Yeah, let's put the suggestion there.
Okay.
Let's put the suggestion there.
Yeah.
Okay, Section 1A, we are saying the complaint must be lodged in writing with the office in the prescribed manner.
Like it appears on Section 4.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. And then B, on receipt of the complaint, the ombudsman must register the complaint as may be prescribed. It's what we thought we were going to include it in the functions and powers of the.
Oh, okay. Instead of having Section 4, we include this in the powers and functions of ombudsman and deputy ombudsman.
That's right.
What is the advice of legal advisors on in terms of the format? There is, in any case, in terms of content, there's no change.
No, it's not a problem, Chairperson. It can be included under Section 6 because it deals basically with the same thing. So
okay.
We can start the Clause 6, Subsection 1 with what we have in 4.
Okay. Which means that
and then 1 and 2, what subsection 1 and 2 will change in 6 to 3 and 4. And then Section 4 will be omitted. Because we're going to shift it from here, we put it under Clause 6.
Okay.
That's the problem.
So this is the powers and functions. Okay, then it's fine. And then let's read it where it starts. We are on section 1.
Yeah.
Let me set it, Honorable Masami.
The complaint must be lodged in writing with the office in the prescribed manner. And on receipt of the complaint, the ombudsman must register the complaint as may be. It may be prescribed.
Now, what would that be? What section would that be?
Look on top, I say Section 1. Let me read Section 1.
Okay.
Section 6.1. The ombudsman must investigate complaints lodged with the office in terms of Section 4 and the chapter in the following manner.
Okay, just pack it there. Now, we omitted Section 4 in the
presentation,
we take out
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Then let's repeat with the omission.
Okay, we're saying the ombudsman must investigate the complaint lodged with the office
in the following manner.
Yeah, in the following manner.
Okay.
The complaint must be lodged in writing with the office in the prescribed manner.
In the prescribed manner.
Yeah. And then B, on receipt of the complaint, the ombudsman must register the complaint as may be prescribed.
Okay. That's B. Okay. That's fine. A and B.
Yeah,
okay.
1A and B.
No, it's fine. Then we are over omitted that 4. Then we go to the section 2. Section 2? Right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3.
Chair, I If I understand the Honourable Mishak, or the effect of the Honourable Mishambo's Mamba's proposal, his problem is with issuing a binding order to the department. If the military ombudsman is going to be independent, then the military ombudsman must be able to issue binding orders to the department, which the department are required to comply with. Consider a case where a member of the Defence Force is aggrieved. The Ombudsman finds in his or her favour and orders some kind of remedial action. What the effect of your proposal would be that the department can simply ignore it.
Honourable Mazia, Honourable Lambo.
No, Chairperson, I just want Honourable Menier to explain what his argument in legal terms.
Honourable Lambo.
Okay. I don't think by ordering and recommending, I mean, if you make recommendations to the minister and if you feel that they are being ignored, won't you make some follow-ups? I don't think instructing is an appropriate word.
The key word here is order, as to whether we should order or recommend. Honorable Daniel?
Yes. I just wanted to hear exactly that argument so that I can be able to make an informed.
Honorable Menia?
Yes.
Okay, Honorable Menia, two people want to know.
I'm delighted that there's so much interest. The argument, I think, goes like this. We are providing for, in this legislation, an independent military ombudsman. That ombudsman, if he or she makes a finding, must be able to issue a binding order on the department. It should not be at the minister's discretion to accept or reject or not implement that order. It should be a binding order based on a finding by the military ombudsman. The effect of the Honourable Member's proposal would mean by deleting the word order and inserting the word recommend, it would seem to me, and perhaps we could take advice from the Parliamentary Law Advisor, it would seem to me that would give the Minister discretion to either accept that recommendation or not. That would substantially reduce the powers of the military ombudsman and its independence.
Honorable Daniel?
Thank you, Chair. I also think, Chair, to order, we're going back to the military. When it's an order, there's no other way about it. We have been saying that defense is a unique environment. That is one. Number two, it is not a discretion of the minister. By virtue of the minister having a political oversight defense in the first place. So for me, it is recommending to the department. Because one, the department, the area of work and what they do is unique. So when you issue an order, how about if you issue an order that will not go with the things that the defense is supposed to do? Let's take a case. What if it was a case where a member was not agreeing with the department, and yet it's there in the rules of the department that it has to be like that. Now, if you order, then you are saying that the department must do away with that, and yet it is part of the department. So I suggest, Chair, that when we recommend, you are saying find a solution. You cannot just do blindly, because if it's an order, you must comply. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mazia.
Yeah, Chairperson, the reason I was asking for Honorable Mayor to give us the his position in legal terms was to try to establish whether legally can you order the minister, because when you order the minister, you are forcing the minister to perform a particular duty. And you are not giving an option for the minister to look at the matter herself. Your recommendation or your order may not be appropriate, and because it's an order, the minister must perform that order because it's an order. Now, once it is performed, you can't reverse it. And hence, legally, you can't use prescriptive ways. You must use ways that allows for the execution to be flexible in application. And hence, the recommendation to the minister has got no bearing in the minister not fulfilling the right to perform that responsibility, because the ombudsperson will have informed the minister of the outcome of the proceeding and also recommended how the relief has to be conducted. And I think, Chairperson, in due respect, I don't think it will be appropriate for us to come up with instructive terms, but to come up with appropriate terms that allows the minister to reasonably agree with the ombudsperson.
So, Honorable Member, you find the word order too strong, isn't it?
Yes.
Honorable Minister?
Okay. Through you, I'd like to take the advice of the Parliamentary Law Advisor on the implication of deleting the word order, because this section has to be read together with the offences section. You have to ask yourself, what are the consequences of the department failing to comply, as we stand now, either with an order or with a recommendation? My understanding of the bill is none, and it's precisely for that reason that I've written in an amendment, which we will get to later, in the offences section. But I think it would be interesting to take the Parliamentary Law Advisor's view on this, Chair.
The Parliamentary Law Advisor, you have a view?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my opinion, I didn't make a point that this is unusual power given to an ombudsperson. I did get a copy of the Public Protector Act, and in the Amendment Act in Section 642, this is the powers of the public protector in respect of public authority, and it says that if the public protector deems it advisable, he or she may refer any matter which has bearing on an investigation to the appropriate public body or authority affected by it, or make an appropriate recommendation regarding the redress of the prejudice resulting therefrom or make any other appropriate recommendation he or she deems expedient to the affected body authority. So, Chair, in terms of the Public Protector Amendment Act, the Public Protector's powers are to recommend. In the instance where the authority doesn't follow through, I think the recourse would be to come and probably complain to Parliament, and Parliament will have to deal with this thereafter.
Okay. Are we satisfied with the explanation? So are we expecting on recommendation? Honourable, if you are not expecting that, I'm going to move that here.
Chair, I think based on that opinion, I would be prepared to go with recommendation. But we do then need to ask ourselves, what mechanism is in place in this piece of legislation in the event of failure to comply with the recommendation? That is something we may have to revisit in the offences section or in indeed in this section. I personally propose that we deal with it in the offences section.
Can we then move on?
Can we then move on to 7? With section 7. Consistency. Consistency.
There is no 787.
I thought you were looking at section, well, because you are under clause 6. I thought you were following. Ma'am?
Thank you, Chair. Just a technical issue. 7.1 reads the ombudsman may not investigate a complaint relating to. Complaint has been defined as something very specific. So in terms of interpretation, the sentence wouldn't make sense. Because you may not... 7.1.
Okay. On 7, we're on 8 now. And that's clause.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Look at clause 6. Six, seven, and then all other that follows will be sections. So I thought we were moving in that order. Now we are on section 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are on
6
now.
Yeah.
And eight.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay.
Nine. Honourable Mayor.
Chair, I propose that we delete clause 9. I propose that we delete sub clause 9. On the basis of the fact that it is impugning the independence of the military ombudsman, the minister should not be able to arbitrarily assign functions to the military ombudsman. We must set those functions out in legislation. But I do accept that the minister from time to time will want, quite legitimately, want the military ombudsman perhaps to investigate certain issues, and so under the functions section, in my proposals, I propose that the minister may request the military ombudsman to conduct an investigation on any matter. But I think this clause 9 should be deleted. With the proviso that we need to build in a clause that will allow the minister to request the military ombudsman to conduct an investigation.
Do you want that clause to be deleted as it is now?
Yes.
But we need to have... We need to redraft it to say that the minister still has the power to assign.
No.
Come on.
I'm sorry, let me be clear. I believe that subclause 9 should be deleted, and that if you look at my proposal, I argue that we should set up a new section which would essentially be the mandate of the military ombudsman, and in there I propose that the president, the minister, or a member of parliament be empowered to ask the military ombudsman to investigate any matter.
Honourable Daniel?
Chair?
No,
on this clause, I think there's a reason in the first place that that clause is there. I'll make an example. In the recent past, there was a case of arms that were going to Zimbabwe, blah, 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 blah. And whether it's the NCACC or whoever, whatever explanation. Now, let's assume that the minister wants that being investigated as to what really happened. And that is not inconsistent with the act. But that's a military issue. On such a case, what do you do? I'm using an example. Because there's a reason that clause is in there. There may be circumstances where the minister will want an investigation to be done because of the environment in the first place, but that which is not consistent with the act. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Daniel.
Chair, I understand the Honourable Daniels. She's correct to raise the question. Her example is not a good example because the correct institution would be the inspectorate of the NCACC would investigate that matter. But her concern is that I simply think that subclause 9 as it is drawn is too wide and risks impugning the independence of the military ombudsman. That is why I would propose if we deal with inserting a subclause which clearly sets up the mandate of the military ombudsman, we should provide a subclause which would allow either the president, the minister, or indeed a member of parliament to ask the military ombudsman to investigate any matter. So you would be cut. This clause is just simply too broad.
What you are saying, you want it to be all inclusive?
No, Chair, I'm simply proposing that we delete clause 9. That's my first proposal. I then propose, in line with my amendments, on page 2 of my amendments, that we set out a new clause in the bill dealing with the mandate of the military ombudsman. Within that clause, I propose that we provide that the military ombudsman, obliging the military ombudsman to investigate any matter referred to him by the minister.
Okay. Honourable Mazia, Honourable Marke.
Yeah, no, Chairperson. I see that in my notes I've just scribbled something, but I can't make sense out of it. I was going to request through you, Chairperson, that No. I don't want you to read the notes for me. I must consult.
I must consult my notes. Yes, because I understand Honorable Menier's argument. And if you go through the clause itself, the sub-clause itself, it is confusing because it says which are not inconsistent with this act. And that is where I think is the reason why I have this note. But I'm trying to make sense out of the notes and I can't. So I would propose, Chairperson, that let us flag it and continue, possibly as we go on. Some of us will remember why we wanted an amendment and what kind of, maybe it's the same amendment that Honorable Menier is recommending. But I don't want to put myself in the frying pan.
Honorable Makesh?
Yeah, I should think I agree because the confusion here is if you say additional function, it might mean that on the functions that are there of the ombudsperson, the minister can add more functions. And I don't think that is the aim of this. The aim is, even if I didn't want to agree with Honorable Mane, but I think I agree with him, what it is actually saying is that the minister can send on an ad hoc basis something to the ombudsperson to investigate. But this one opens up to add a clause in the functions of the ombudsman. So that's why it is confusing. If we take additional functions, then it might make sense. The minister has got the right to say this has just happened now and can send it to the ombudsperson to investigate. But if you say you add functions, then it means out of the functions that the ombudsman has, you can add something else, which I don't think would be appropriate. So I would say if we leave 9 as it is, and just correct the additional functions part. Because the function is something else.
Right. We...
Okay.
Ma'am?
Yeah, just on the same issue. I just wanted to clarify what this subsection 9 intends to, you know. Because if you look at it, it empowers the minister to assign any other additional function. That means other functions other than the investigation, if you read the subsection. Any other function, as long as those functions are not inconsistent with this act. Now the question that I wanted to check, is this what the committee wants? Is this what you want the minister to do? To be able, what you're giving the minister discretion to assign other functions other than the investigation part, because the ombud is empowered by the act to do the investigation. So is this what you want to do? Any other function shall assign to the minister? And then if you don't want that clause, it may be removed from the bill. I just want you to be clear of what is the intention of this sub-clause.
Just the honourable members, the understanding is that the minister must have a role to play, isn't it? That is an agreement. But I think what the problem is that on how to put it and where to put it. Did I understand it that way, Honorable Mane? Honorable Mlambo, you come?
Jim, I'm very reluctant to agree with the Honorable Maki, but I've got to concede that I think his reading is correct. I think that I still move that we delete this clause because it gives the minister discretion to decide on the functions of the military ombudsman. That is something that we need to decide in this committee and define the functions of the military ombudsman very clearly. So I still move that the clause be deleted. But equally, we all agree that from time to time, the minister may want to refer matters to the military ombudsman for investigation. That, in my view, is entirely legitimate and desirable, and we need to ensure that we write in a subclause to provide for that.
Right. We write in the subclause. Where do we put the subclause? I think there is general agreement that there is a role that the minister must take here in referring matters to the Umbas, as for the discretion, because you must also look at the keyword. The keyword is inconsistent, which is not inconsistent. I don't think that this will take anything away from the function of the ombudsman. But where do we put it and how? This clause. Honorable Masango?
Chairperson, if you can remember, when we were dealing with the mandate that we presented here, we said let's take them. And almost all of them there are in that mandate. It's just a matter of people must go and read and check which one are. They do agree with them and which one they do agree, because they are covered there in the presentation that we presented on the mandate of the Ombuds.
Honorable Blam.
Yeah, otherwise Chairperson will be spending time on this one. And there was a suggestion or a proposal by Honorable Mazia that we park this one, reflect it. And Honorable Masang is also coming up with the same suggestion that can't we continue, let us flag it, let us go and apply our mind so that when we come back we are able to deal with it. Thank you.
What is very important in dealing with this is the question that ma'am there said we must look at, even if we are looking at. We must look at what we want. Do we want the minister to add function? According to my small mind, function is things that you put there when you advertise and say you are going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then I apply. That is my understanding of function. Then, if you are going to add a function there, which was not there when I applied for the job, consistent or still being consistent with the act itself, is that what we want to happen here? Or do we simply say the minister can assign whatever she wants at that time to the ombudsperson to investigate? Or are we saying one of the good days the minister can come there with 5 more functions and give to the ombudsperson, or as from today we have got added functions? So if we are going to look at it, it's up to us to decide anyway. If we are going to look at it, I should advise we look at it according to what she said. That is my understanding of the confusion here. Yes.
Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, my memory is failing me, but earlier on, when we started with this bill, there was something that we dealt with, and it really, this to a large extent suggested that the ombuds would be reporting to the minister. And I think we have since dealt with that. The ombuds will not be reporting to the minister. My sense, Chairperson, is that the clause that we are now stuck with could be informed by the previous point which was contained in the bill earlier. But secondly, Chairperson, there is a saying that funds follow function. If you want to give an institution additional work to do, you must equally increase their budget. You must increase the budget. Now, I know I'm opening up a can of worms, Chairperson, but I'm just I want to agree with the comrade JJ to say probably to load the ombuds with so much work, and some of this work would be coming from the minister, could not be doing justice to the office of the ombuds, in that it may find itself with insufficient funds, for instance. I guess this is what could be happening to the public protector as we speak. You may be aware that she has asked for an extra funding from treasurer or from somebody, because she finds her work load quite expanding by day, and the budget is not following suit. So my suggestion, Chairperson, really would be that the ombuds, if he or she happens to take some additional work from the minister, that on its own could be construed as that the ombuds is under the arm of, or is being controlled, or the minister has got influence. But on top of that, the other thing, Chairperson, Honorable Menier would say he has got so many complaints which are sitting with him already. I'm sure some of those the minister wouldn't want to handle herself. Instead of handling them, she would find a way of pushing them away to somebody else. When somebody is hot and it's hot and you can't handle it, you find somebody else to handle it. Some kind of dumping your serious problems with somebody else. I'm saying, we could be opening up the ombuds to that kind of a scenario.
Well, honorable members, we are saying that there is no way that from time to time that the minister will not be confronted, the minister himself or herself, not be confronted by the issues that she or he will need to refer to the ombuds. We agree about that. Mm-hmm. Now, I think now that
we are saying, Chairperson, the subsection as it stands, it removes the responsibilities of the ombudsperson from the legislation, because you see it says that additional functions which are not inconsistent with this act. This is the part that we are arguing. We are not arguing the minister asking the ombudsperson to do additional work required by the minister if it is inconsistent with the act. But this one says which is are not inconsistent with the act, and that is what creates a problem, because the minister may decide to say in the morning when she's fed up or he's fed up, ombudsman, we want you to go and clean the floors, and because the law allows, the ombudsperson must go and clean the floors. And that is what we are avoiding. But our point is that, Chairperson, we don't have the correct arrangement of the sub-clause. If we can put it aside a little bit, so that we come and reflect on it again. As I'm saying, I know I've noted it in my notes, but I have to remind myself in my bigger picture of the notes, what exactly did I want to say here? But if the committee so suggests that we remove it and don't consider my proposal, I have got no problem. The only problem I would have, Chairperson, is when we continue to discuss it, we have requested that it reflect.
Look, honorable members, I'm coming to Honorable Bach.
We cannot say we will come back to that loss and discuss. What are we coming back to discuss? We must agree what do we intend, as Marty was saying. What do we intend the clause to say? Then we will come back and discuss it. Honorable Market and Honorable Daniel?
I'll suggest a rearrangement. The legal people will put the correct term there. We take out other additional functions. And it reads, the minister may assign to the ombudsman any work. They will put in the correct legal term. Any work which, that's right. Any task which is not inconsistent with this act.
That's the question that we were supposed to raise on. I get. Can we go on?
Yeah, and then we can go on, Chairperson, but I want you to note that you are dividing the ANC.
who's dividing the ANC, Honorable Member?
The Chairperson.
In which sense?
In the sense that Chairperson, regardless of what he has said,
we want to reflect in the way that we have noted this sub-clause.
We noted, you mean who?
The ANC.
Okay.
Yes, I'm representing the ANC.
Okay.
Unless if you want me to jump the ship and go to the DA.
No,
yeah. So I'm saying, Chairperson, if you continue in the way that you are continuing, at the end, we are going to end up not having a position, because the reason why, Chairperson, we did not want to emphasize on the subsection is because if we don't have, I've consulted with members who were together in the study group, and they've all noted, as I've noted it, and I have a concern with that, Chairperson. And that is the reason why I said
so.
We must flag it because we must find out why did we reflect on it the way we have reflected, even though we are unable to express it adequately now.
Honorable Member, you have consulted with members.
I've consulted with them to find out.
So if you haven't consulted with me, I divide the ANC.
No. I'm saying you are chairing the meeting.
Okay.
You are chairing the meeting.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
That's what I'm doing.
Yes. And members of the ANC have a right to raise their hands.
Yeah.
And you have the right to point any person who have raised his hand.
That's right.
Yes. And now...
Can I for order?
I think this is out of order. Let it be flagged. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor?
Chair, I was simply going to suggest that I agree with the Honorable Mayor. The sub-clause should remain flagged, and the Chairperson should take note that he is uniting the ANC and the DA.
Okay. We are flagging it, Honorable Members, and then we'll come back to it. Then let's move to 10. Agreed. 11. Then we move to clause 7. Honorable Mania.
Chair, I don't want to try your patience, but you'll see in my amendments that I proposed to insert a new clause. I just happened to have inserted it as a new clause 8. And the new clause reads, the ombudsman may, if he or she believes the facts disclose the commission of an offence by any person, bring the matter to the notice of the South African police or the national prosecuting authority. I think the intention of my sub-clause is clear. I mean, clearly, if the military ombudsman comes across a matter which seems to be a criminal offence, he or she ought to refer that matter to the South African police or the national prosecuting authority.
Where do you want that clause to be in the first place, Honourable Member?
Chair, I would suggest that it be in clause 6 and possibly, I think it fits in well as a new sub clause 8, but I'm not.
Sub clause 8. Where are you?
Where are we at, Mon?
No, we were on clause 9 here, Honourable Minister. We were on clause 9. And then where do you want us to fit in that you are talking about under not just the right legal term will be section 9 subsection, eh? What will we call this 9?
It's
a sub clause. So we were on clause 9, we said we flagged clause 9, then we are going to clause 10. On agreed on 10 and we go on clause 11. Yes, on that. Now we're going to limitations of jurisdiction. Now I wanted to know as to where do you want what you are saying to fit in the process that we are following now.
Chair, I'm just simply proposing a new sub-clause to be inserted in clause 6. I believe that the best place to insert that new sub-clause would be before the existing sub-clause 8. In other words, it would be a new sub-clause 8, and it would simply read, the Ombudsman may, if he or she believes the facts disclose the commission of offence by any person, bring the matter to the notice of the South African police or national prosecuting authority. I would imagine that we could possibly clean up that wording by perhaps saying referring to, but I'll take advice from our legal advisors. But the point being, I think that the military ombudsman should be able to refer matters to the police service or to the national prosecuting authority.
That is given. We can't even have it here. Because if a matter requires the intervention of the police, it's given. We can't have it in the... Honourable Daniel?
Chair, before we even go there, I assume we're still talking about uniform members of the defence. That we are saying the ombuds must recommend to the department what process has to be followed. There's a legal process in the Department of Defense. If then that cannot be done within the department or within the environment of the defense, then there's a civil way of doing things outside that. That is, I assume we're still dealing with uniform members, because I remember prior we're talking about a member who is not in uniform, in a civilian in uniform. That matter can be reported to the police, because no one can know if a person is a military person if that particular person is not in uniform. That's a totally different. But if we're talking about issues of uniform members within the environment of the department and the environment of defense, and the ombuds is investigating that in which resides within the military, it must remain until such time that he cannot, or we find that they have failed, that system has failed, then that can be referred to civil. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, you must not forget that you are dealing with the military ombudsman. The first priority is to look into military matters. And we must also remember that in
sub-clause 6, you also talked about the investigation. You agreed that there should be an investigation by the military ombuds, and after that there should be a recommendation as to what course of action to take to the department. Now, are we not speaking if you say that now we say that the military ombuds may refer the case to the police? Are we not talking double time now? Because the military ombuds will make recommendations. If one of the recommendations is that this is a criminal case, the department will deal with it that way. If you say this is a civil case, the department will deal with it that way. I see there is a lot of irregularity. Mashiro or Nakela?
I think what the Honourable Member Minier is raising is to some extent already covered. Under Section 6 or under Clause 6, sub-clause 5C, which states that after investigating a complaint, the ombudsman or the ombudsman must refer the complaint to the appropriate public institution for finalization if the matter falls outside the jurisdiction of the ombudsman. I think it will cover what he said.
That's my understanding. Then can we, you still want to say something, Honorable Minister?
Yep. Chair, if I have the assurance of the legal advisor that I am covered, then I'm satisfied. But it is rather vague. But I would, if I'm covered, I'm covered.
Thank you very much. Can we then move to limitation, Chair, on jurisdiction?
Well, I just wanted to ask a point. I probably ought to know this, but I don't. Are the military police competent to investigate all kinds of crime, or are there limitations to their powers of investigation?
You don't have to answer that question if you don't have an answer. But we agreed, I think Honorable Mania agreed with the agreeing with your advice that is covered. Can we move to then to limitations on jurisdiction on the clause 7 sub clause 1? Honorable Minister?
Chair, you'll recall this morning during our deliberations, I made the point based on the legal opinion from Parliament that I thought that we ought to include a section that clearly sets out the mandate of the military ombudsman, which I do not think is sufficiently clearly set out. At that time, you suggested that I raise my amendment when we were dealing with the powers and functions in clause 6. I mean, now that we've dispensed with those powers and functions of the existing clause of the chair, can I put forward my amendment?
Honorable Masango, I thought you were putting in the amendment.
That's different.
Can you recall? You'll recall in Parliament's legal opinion, there was a recommendation that we include a section setting out the mandate of the military ombudsman, which would include clearly setting out the mandate and then probably also clearly setting out what the military ombudsman should not investigate, which is contained in clause 7.
Or in clause 7,
right?
I remember we discussed that. We said we would talk about that when we reach the powers and functions, right? Can then we attend to that, Honorable Mania?
Okay.
Your suggestion, proposal.
My proposal. Chair, my proposal is just at the, what page is it? From page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It begins
at the bottom of page 4, Chair, and I apologize, I should have numbered the document.
But where are you referring to document?
I don't have the clause immediately, but I'm quite happy to refer you. If you give me a few minutes. But Chair, I think it is important that we clearly set out the functions of the military ombudsman in a separate clause.
I thought on the floor. Are we reading from the same page?
I'm delighted that I am. Chair, I propose that we then include a new clause 4, which would read with the heading mandate of the Office of the Military Ombudsman, and the clause would read as follows. Subclause 1, the military ombudsman is competent to investigate on his or her own initiative or on receipt of a complaint any alleged maladministration in the Defence Force, the abuse of power by a member of the Defence Force, unfair, improper or dishonest conduct, act or omission which results in the unlawful or improper prejudice to any member of the Defence Force, or the improper or unlawful enrichment or receipt of any improper advantage or promise of such an enrichment or advantage by a member of the Defence Force. Subclause 2 would read, Chair, do you want me to read this into the record, or are members satisfied that they can look over the proposal? I'm quite happy to take your guidance.
Thank you there, Honourable Daniel.
Chair, on those new amendments, I still want to know what are conditions of service? Because we need to be consistent. At the beginning, we said in 1A and B, we said conditions of service. Now, if conditions of service are holistically inclusive of all the things that are mentioned, I don't see any reason why we should mention each and every thing. Because then if we say conditions of service, then it's inclusive. On the first one, Chair, that's the Honourable Member of the Talking. I'll overlook that. Thank you.
Honourable Member?
Chair, if you look at the conditions of service, it does not include 1A to D, and that is why they are included in the in my proposal.
Do you want to add something that is not in the definition? Is that what you are saying?
No, Chair.
Do you want to change the definition?
No. I'm saying, Chair, that as a committee, we need a subclause dealing with the mandate of the military ombudsman. I have a proposal before you set out in 4 subclauses. The 4th subclause is in fact the whole of the existing clause 7 in the bill. The primary differences, Chair, would be subclause 1, then also subclause 2F, where I provide for the President, a Minister or a Member of Parliament referring a matter to the public, to the Military Ombudsman for investigation. Subclause 3, where I say that the Military Ombudsman may, after advising the President, the Minister and the Joint Standing Committee on Defence in writing, investigate any other matter relating to the Defence Force. Again, that is based on the legal opinion that we received, which suggests...
No. Honourable Mlamu, you come, Honourable Nana.
Where is the Honourable Member reading? He's confusing us now. Yeah, but he's reading his own submission, not in relation to the bill itself. So,
you remember we packed this input when we started and said we will discuss it when we come to the powers and function of the Ombuds. Now, that is exactly what we are doing. The Honourable Member presented what he has there. But now, Honourable Daniel wanted to know as to what is the difference between this and conditions of service. And so that is the point of discussion. If there is no difference between this and the conditions of services, we put them in the definition. It means that there is no need for this. That is what you should agree with. Then if this... because it will call for a new definition if it's a new thing altogether out of the condition of sin. Honorable Nana?
No, I'm
you're covered. Now, that is what we were discussing now. Now, what are we saying? Are this part of the conditions of services? This is a part of the conditions of services.
Honourable Member?
Yeah,
no, Chairperson, with the little time I have, I've gone through the submission of Honourable Member. But Chairperson, obviously, if there is a member of the Defence Force who is abused, or if there is abuse of power of the minister. No. The person who is abused obviously has a right to lodge a complainant. And that complaint will obviously follow the procedure of any member of the army to lodge a complaint. And that complaint, if it is not resolved at the level where it should start, it will end up with the ambush person. Now, Chairperson, the way Honorable Manuel have proposed here, for me, I do not understand why Honorable Manuel think that this matter, if they have not been resolved in the normal disciplinary procedure arrangement. How is he expecting the ombudsman, if it is put before him or her, to refuse to attend to them? Because I think we need to remind ourselves, what are we talking about when we talk about this ombudsperson? The ombudsperson is not your union, it's not your disciplinary committee. The ombudsman is a structure in place to protect both the interest of the department and the interest of the soldiers. And if there is any between the two parties who is infringed, that person has a right to go to the ombudsperson. If the processes which have to be followed in resolving that person's dispute have not been resolved adequately. Now, this shopping list that I see here, Chairperson, is redirecting us.
The understanding is this: all these matters will be covered as conditions of service. Honorable Masango, Honorable Menia, then we are going to pass this one.
Yeah. Chairperson, we must just remember we've got a presentation from Lebo Munyasi. And one of her complaints was that the ombudsman must be given a chance to investigate, not to wait every time to be given complaints. And what we are presenting here is what, if he investigates and he comes across that there is an abuse, then he should be able to do all those things, because they are not covered to a person who, if someone doesn't come up with it, then the ombudsman must be able to go and investigate all these things. If he, we don't want to hear these things in the corridors or in the newspaper, and the ombudsman is sitting there and not doing something. That's what we're saying. She must or he must be able to investigate if she hears something of that sort. And if I can read this on Mulebati.
No, I mustn't read it. We got what you say.
Okay.
Now, what honourable member say? I thought in somewhere in the bill, the right of the ombudsman to initiate an investigation. That is what you are talking about.
When there is a reason to do so, because we should be careful, Chairperson, that we don't create a structure that is going to.
No, but the question that we ask now, is it covered in the bill, the right to initiate the investigation? Is covered?
Yeah.
No, it's not covered.
No.
Read the book.
Not covered.
Yeah, no. Advocate?
I think I'm getting
there. Honorable Advocate, well, we must say you are not cheating.
Then you will recall this issue came up during the public hearing, that we need to make provision. And in our departmental response, it's a point we consider that there should be consideration. But that's not the issue I wanted to address, Chair. I wanted to address a different point with regard to this new proposal, which for me is a bit of a concern, Chair. And I can tell you, I recognize where this comes from. It comes from the Public Protector Act. And it's almost verbatim from the Public Protector Act. Now I'll tell you what my concern is. Because we are creating a statutory body, which hierarchically is of a lesser office than the Public Protector. Because the Public Protector is a constitutional institution. But what we are doing in this proposal is basically to take the functions and the powers of the Public Protector and bring them down to the level of a military ombudsman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going to create problems in practice, because it means this office of the ombudsman, which is supposed to be a unique office, looking at matters that are unique in military, ends up having a jurisdiction. Because if you look, this thing raises issues of corruption and all those kind of things, which are a jurisdiction of the Public Protector. So I think in practice, Chair, if you adopt, it may create that problem, because this bill is not intended to exclude the jurisdiction of the Public Protector over these issues. That's why they are not being repeated in this bill, because we recognize that the Public Protector already has that jurisdiction to investigate matters of that nature. And, Chair, the second issue is, if you read this new proposal now, with the proposal that was made earlier on with regard to a definition of complaint, you will see a lot of repetition, because we have defined what a complaint is. And the military ombudsman should be only able to investigate what is already defined as a complaint. But what this proposal does, it extends that complaint. Because we started by defining a complaint, and a complaint is very long according to the definition. It even includes auxiliary. But what that one does, it gives him power to investigate things which are not defined as a complaint already, but it extends. So I think we need to do some serious reflection around this issue. Otherwise, we may sit with a monster that we didn't even contemplate.
Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the last argument first. The legal advisors argue that complaint is defined. It is. It's simply in the definition section of the bill. That is not the same as setting out clearly in this Act what the functions or what the mandate of the military ombudsman will. You cannot set out the functions or the mandate of the military ombudsman in the definition section of the bill. That's the first thing. The second thing is it doesn't give additional powers to the military ombudsman. It simply says complaints lodged. That is consistent with the wording in the rest of the bill. Second argument about the public protector. The wording in subclause 1, in fact, comes from the 2006 military ombudsman bill produced by this parliament. And I would not think that the public, that there would be any problem with the military ombudsman having similar functions. I'm quite sure that the public protector would welcome it.
I'll come to you.
If I may, without engaging in it, I know exactly Mr. Mayor, because I was part of the drafting of the 2006, so I'm very much aware where it came from. We took very active part.
But before you go on, we must be careful that we may not discuss the bill that is not here. We discuss the bill in its current form now. You go on.
The point I wanted to make, that Honorable Menu would have noticed if he had read until the end, the 2006 bill, that somewhere at the end it specifically excluded the jurisdiction of the public protector over the military. That was the reason why it was brought here. Because the intention at the time was that the public protector is not going to have jurisdiction over the military. That's why it was relevant that we take them verbatim, because there was a clear intention that the military ombudsman will do all those kinds of investigations. But if you look at the current version, there is a movement away from that. So I think we need, but you see, on this point again, if you look at form, it says military ombudsman is competent to investigate on his or her own initiative or on receipt of a complaint. Now the complaint is defined. Complaint, whenever it's used in this Act, it means just what is defined in Section 1. It cannot have a different meaning. So if you use complaint there, you're actually giving a different meaning to what is already in Section 1, which is problematic.
Just on a short point, I do accept the point about the word complaint in my proposals in subclause 1. And perhaps we could find a different word. But you are, I do accept that.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nana, are you covered?
Chairperson, I would hate to say I'm covered for the second time. It would appear that I'm raising for the sake of raising my hand. Chair, we will recall when the minister came to brief us on this bill, and she subsequently asked us to fast track it as much as we can. Part of what she said, my memory could be failing me, but if I remember very well, part of what she said was that the public protector, particularly the one after Selby Bakwa, yeah, Lawrence Mushwane, the current one, Madonsela. The public protector has made it clear that she does not want this baby anymore. It's eating into her time, it's outside her mandate and other things. Now I am trying to collate what she said to us in this committee and what the legal team is saying, and I get a bit confused. Probably the legal team and colleagues would refresh me and place it in context. But the second one, Chairperson, it could be the question of English. As you will know, that my education is very limited and I would have shortcomings when it comes to English. Is there a difference between functions and the mandate?
In legal terms.
Yeah.
in legal terms. Can we say mandate and still go on and say function? Yeah. Now, I'm sure the explanation has been provided to Honorable Menia, that, but the question still stands about initiating the right of the Ombuds to initiate investigation. Honorable Madria? Yeah, Chairperson, I don't think the Ombudsperson will turn a blind eye even where it is required of him or her to intervene. But what we are saying, Chairperson, is that we should be careful that we don't create a situation where the Ombudsperson will then start to look for trouble. Because if the Ombudsperson is going to start to look for trouble, that is also going to eat a lot on his or her time. Because he or she will then be dealing with matters which are of no content. The mandate is very clear that the Ombudsperson will receive and investigate complaints and deal with those complaints. It is very clear that mandate. And still we are saying that is not restricting the person from going further from that point to say, if I see that there is a misconduct, I have to turn a blind eye. That's my point, Chairperson.
You don't want the Ombuds to go on a witch hunt.
No.
That's your point.
Mm-hmm.
Still on initiating, Honorable Mania?
Actually, a few points.
On the question of the military ombudsman initiating an investigation, I believe that he or she should be able to initiate an investigation, and it's precisely for that reason that I've tried to capture that in sub-clause 3 of my proposal, which reads that the military ombudsman may, after advising the President, the Minister and the Joint Standing Committee on Defence, in writing, investigate any other matter relating to the Defence Force. But Chair, there's a more important point. We have to be clear what the functions of the military ombudsman are in terms of this bill. The functions are in fact limited, and in my view unduly limited. Because in terms of this bill, the military ombudsman would only be able to investigate complaints relating now to conditions of service as defined in the Defence Act. And I think we need to look very carefully at what those conditions of service are before this committee makes any decisions. Because, and the legal advisors can correct me if I'm wrong, I would suggest in the current framing, if a member of the Defence Force came across corruption, for example, he, in terms of the current drafting, would not be able to refer that matter to the military ombudsman. That is my understanding. That might be incorrect, Mr. Mulya. I'd like to get the view of the legal advisor. But I want us to understand very clearly what it is the functions are in terms of this act.
Thank you, Chair. I just am interested in knowing what informs the initiation of this investigation. What informs that you assume that there is corruption, that you assume, because before you can even know that there's something going, you need to look and investigate if indeed what you're seeing is what is happening. So what informs the initiation of this
Honorable Madia.
Yeah.
Chairperson, I want to bring to your attention that we should note that the military have got a military police. And if we want to create a sub-military police in the defense force, then we will overlook the responsibilities of the military intelligence, military police, and reduce it to that of the ombudsman. The ombudsman is not a defense military sub-unit. The military ombudsman, it's a platform to assist resolve matters of the soldiers which are not been resolved by the normal protocol of the disciplinary procedure of the defense. And we are saying that, Chairperson, when this legislation was suggested, it was suggested with a very clear mandate that it is not going to police the defense, but it is going to assist the soldiers for their rights. And we should leave it at that, Chairperson.
Members, are we saying that the question of the military ombuds initiating an investigation can be done away with? The mandate as suggested or proposed by Honorable Menia, they are covered in the definition. Is that what we are saying? Okay. Advocate?
Shouldn't we be saying the ombudsperson can initiate investigation only pertaining to any incident that relates to the definition of a complaint and not something more than that?
That's a crafting, Honorable Gabadeli.
I cannot argue with the advocate, but it is still based on what Honorable asked. Informed by what? What would inform that initiation?
Honorable Nana. And then Honorable Menia.
Chairperson, I may be wrong, but I think one primary reason that has led to the resuscitation of this bill are the ugly scenes that we saw on TV, which embarrassed our army and the country. When our soldiers went on riot, I may be wrong. When our soldiers went on riot, I think in Pretoria, burnt an army van, and all other aggressions. And a view that the military should be deunionized, then got resuscitated. But do you deunionize the military and leave a vacuum? No, because soldiers themselves have got rights. You can't leave a vacuum. As a consequence, the military ombudsman bill was then resuscitated. And needless to remind members that this bill is our bill. It was introduced by this parliament where some time back, long before our time. Now Chairperson, if we will attempt to defeat the very objective of facilitating the bill and try and create some kind of a watchdog, I think we would be defeating the good intentions of resuscitating the bill. Because in my opinion, Chairperson, this bill, as I said earlier, its primary objective is to look after it's really to look after your grievance process and procedures as they relate to the welfare of soldiers against the employer. You know, you don't want to create a second arm of the Hawks or the Scorpions within the army. I just wanted to remind members.
Honorable President.
Can I request or we close it this way, that we don't need to include the initiation by the ombudsperson. The DA always does that job. If they see something, they will complain. So complain is enough, because they always go to the ombudsman. So we don't need, it doesn't even need to initiate anything. So we close it as that. If they have a problem, they will just complain directly, representing the member. So if they can still do it as they do it all the time, why do they need to include those things again? They will simply write directly to the ombudsman. So why should we worry about that? Thank you.
No.
And can we close it on that basis?
No. We will close it, but we don't close it by abdicating our responsibility to the DA. Now, we'll close it. Now, what comes up here, honorable members, is that we are saying that we will not say the Ombuds should initiate the investigation. Two, I'm not sure as to whether you finished reading your mandate. We're still on your mandate. But your mandate so far as you have read your mandate now, that the mandates are already covered in the definition and conditions of service. That is why that is what we are saying now. Is that the understanding of all of us, honorable members? You don't understand it that way, honorable Manier. Give us your understanding.
Chair, first of all, on the issue of complaint, I have said that we have agreed that the definition of complaint is related to conditions of service. Conditions of service is defined in the Defence Act. I would at least encourage members of the ruling party to look at that definition so that they can be clear exactly what the mandate of the military ombudsman will be, because I think they may find it is far more limited than they would like. That's the first point. The second point, though, the Honourable Daniels raised a good question, and the question was this: what would give rise to the military ombudsman wanting to initiate an investigation? It's a good question. Let me try and answer the question with what I think is a likely scenario. The military ombudsman will over time receive complaints from members of the Defence Force. He or she may note over time that he or she is receiving a disproportional number of complaints from a particular military base, and based on that may conclude that there's a more fundamental problem at that base, a systemic problem. And on that basis, the military ombudsman might say, hang on, there are a disproportional number of complaints coming from the Doornkop military base. I think there might be something fundamentally or systemically wrong at the Doornkop military base. I want to go and take a further look. And on that basis, would then initiate a further investigation after advising the President, in my view, after advising at least the Minister of Defense. This proposal is even supported by the department. I think that the ruling party should reconsider.
The Honorable Dunn.
Honorable Member Vinay has just said received complaints. That's the operative word. Received complaints from military base and received. Then it means the ombuds has received the complaint. The ombuds has not initiated but has received. I think it says it all. The very person that the Honourable Member Masango was talking about, that person wrote a complaint. That person can do the same to the ombuds. Received a complaint. Voila.
The ombuds.
The President, let us recall the basis. Let us recall the basis of having this bill reintroduced. I'm pleading with all of you members, otherwise we'll be going in circles.
Honorable Mazia, Honorable Mukabadeli.
Yeah, no, Chairperson, I'm not sure which language must one use to persuade Honorable Manier. The last part of his input makes sense in the sense that, Chairperson, even myself, if consistently I get complaints from a particular base, I will be worried and I will want to know why is this base so problematic. That is given. But Chairperson, we can't go to the extent where we even forget that this person is human like any other person. And as Honorable Nana is pointing out, the main purpose of this bill and the commission was to deal necessarily with grievances of the soldiers. And to reduce the burden of the soldiers to the extent that soldiers don't resolve to abandoning their posts, because soldiers must always be on their posts. So I want to plead with Honorable Menier to say that yes, we understand his concerns and his arguments, and we are not in dispute with them. However, we can't agree with the line of command that he is proposing, because that is problematic for us, given the fact that we understand and he also understands where this initiative comes from. It is not only the ombudsman that is there in the army. It is also the commission, which its responsibility is to ensure that the rights of the soldiers are respected. So, more than this, Chairperson, I don't know what other language can we use to persuade Honorable Manir. Maybe we must take him to an initiative school. Initiation school. Well, I don't know, here in the Western Cape.
Okay. Honorable Masano.
Thank you, Chair. In addition, we have received and received, we are not detaining the combat. There is 5B that says, can recommend an alternative resolution to the minister. he's not detained. He's allowed to move.
No. But thank you. Honorable Masango?
Yeah, Chairperson, we should just be very careful. We said we want an independent ombudsman. And if he's going to be independent, he cannot sit there and just wait for complaints to come. And as many
on
things...
On a point of process, Chairperson.
Okay, on a point of process.
We have raised
a question here. You see? And I think if Honorable Masango, in his response, he will first base his argument on the initiation of this ombudsman and thereafter then make reference or reference to his argument, we will then understand. We are basing our argument on the intention and purposes of the establishment of the ombudsman. And we want him to also do the same. Because we can't, Chairperson, deliberate on something that we see that is not workable.
So we are saying that we are talking about the right of an ombuds to initiate an investigation, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the question that we are discussing.
Yeah.
But that right must include why is he there? Yes, with the, let's get his input, and we'll decide as to whether it addresses those issues or not.
Chairperson, I think he was just in a hurry to stop me. Chairperson, I'm just saying this bill should be, we said the ombudsman should be an independent person. And to be independent, this person must be able to can do a job without waiting for someone to give him a job. And as many are saying, you know, sometimes we say people, we deal with the symptoms and not the root cause. I mean, you cannot have so many complaints coming and you just sit down and deal with the complaints rather than go and check what is the problem, go and investigate what is the all the cause of these complaints coming in. We are saying we want to see an army of members that are happy. And if you want to see them happy, then the ombudsman must be able to say, let me go and investigate the root cause of this problem. Maybe he may deal off with the root cause, and all members of the army will be happy. But we cannot just wait until they just come and come and come, then we are not having a happy cause. Let's go for this initiative of a investigation from the ombudsman.
I guess... Can we really take 5B seriously?
He's not detained, this person. He has received this and this. He's listening. He is
5B
on patient 3. Oh, yes, but the right to recommend an alternative.
5B.
5B. It covers all these concerns we are raising. We're not dealing with a stone-headed somebody. We're dealing with somebody who's creative.
Oh, Pastor, when you receive, what do you do next? You investigate. Both of you are responsible for proceeding. And that's what you're saying.
Okay. I'll tell you where our path crossed, right?
Oh.
You're talking about an ombuds initiating an investigation. Honorable Mazia was very much against that. I am right. One of the reasons is that the ombudsman or the ombuds will end up on a witch hunt. That is another risk. Apart from others that you have mentioned. Now, the Honorable Menian Masango there, they say initiate an investigation into a demonstration of independence. You see?
But there seems not to be an agreement. You do not agree with that. Another member, I don't think we should labor anymore on this one, because we will come back, we will run in cycles with this one. And on the question of the mandate, there is no agreement, Honorable Mania, about it, and they will pass it. I'm not sure as to whether there is any other thing that you want to raise out of what we have dealt with. I think we have dealt with a little. We'll close at honorable members, we'll close at 4 o'clock. Obviously we will not finish this debate today, and then we can extend it to the other for the other time, next week Tuesday. No, next week Tuesday. Tomorrow we there are some meetings for our we can't do tomorrow. Can we close it at that, honorable members?
Chair, there are really 2 points. The one is on the whole question of initiating investigations. There have been several arguments against, the final argument being the Honorable Mazir's argument that it is not workable. What I find interesting about that argument is that the department differs with you and believes that it is workable, and in fact supports the amendment and the proposal. Again, I would argue that I would plead that the question of the military ombudsman initiating investigations be flagged, and that we reconsider it when we reconvene. It's very important. Chair, the second point I wanted to make is increasingly it seems to me, now that we've completed our debate on the mandate of the military ombudsman, that in fact what the ruling party want is something other than a military ombudsman. What they really want, and what the department really wants, is an institution to investigate unresolved grievances that has no independent powers and cannot initiate investigations. It would be much easier then if we don't use the pretense that this is a military ombudsman. What the minister ought to have done is simply have set up a directorate in the ministry or in the secretariat to deal with unresolved grievances. But what we are creating here, as far as I'm concerned, is not a military ombudsman.
Right, that will be your opinion, Honorable Member. Then can we leave it at that, Honorable Member, that in the next Tuesday we are going to start on Clause 7.
No,
but you will not agree on this. That is covered.
Okay.
Then we'll start with limitations. No, we'll come to them. We'll talk when we meet for money. We want to do this. Thank you, honorable members. You must.